Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass f-. So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
If you're struggling to lose weight, you've probably heard about weight loss medications like Wegovy or Zepbound, and you might be wondering if they're right for you. Meet Plush Care, a leading telehealth provider with doctors who are there for you day and night to partner with you in your weight loss journey. If you qualify, they can safely prescribe you medication from the comfort of your own home. To get started, visit plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss. plushcare.com/weightloss.
Welcome to Zone Time, everybody. It's the last one of 2022. I'm Julian. Avery's here.
Oh, yeah.
Omar. Yeah, it is. It is the last one of 2022. Tic-Tac Tobar's here.
I'm losing track of days, sorry.
And Sam is here. Tic-Tac, why are you losing? I've never called you Tic-Tac before. That's weird. Why are you losing track of days?
I don't know. Like, I feel like that always happens, like, around, like, you know, the holiday season, like, the winter breaks and stuff. You just, like, days kind of, like, blend into each other, and it's not until, like, you randomly get a notification on your phone. It's like, oh, wow, there's a game today. Oh, okay, it's at 8 o'clock. Awesome. So, yeah, this time of the year is kind of, like, I guess a little weird, especially, you know, having that transition from old year to new year. Everyone makes their resolutions that they're not going to follow. So, you know.
Whoa. It's...
Speak for yourself. I don't even make resolutions anymore. I just don't bother.
Yeah.
Like, you know. I mean, I don't know. I think it's cool to set goals and resolutions for yourself.
For sure. My resolution last year and the year before that 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 was to watch the Leafs in the second round.
That's granted, not a resolution.
That's not in your control, though.
Granted, that's not in your control.
Yeah,
Omar,
yeah, control. Yeah, that doesn't count.
Yes, granted, that is not part of something I can do that I can control. Yeah, for sure.
That's but, like, if I say, like, that's not the same as, like, I'm going to lose, like, 15 pounds or something, you know? Like that's in your control.
That's true. Actually, one resolution that I think I have followed continuously, even though, yeah, actually was a news resolution, was to decrease my engagement with the comment section on Twitter.
And that's a resolution.
That's something I've followed with because sometimes, you know, people can be interesting. And stuff.
That's very fair.
Yes.
Avery, I feel like I'm watching a fashion show right now with all the lighting changes going on. Are you okay?
No, my ring light was going haywire. That was something I was trying to throw out there.
Okay, that's why.
It was good.
Someone hacked into his ring light.
It was good.
To be.
It was good before going on camera, but now it started acting up for some reason.
Okay, at the very least. Also, yeah. Sam, I need to mention this before I mention some of the other topics I want to get into. I am proud to say, going through the different topics we could talk about for today's show, the Vancouver Canucks did not come up once. We are not going to talk about the Vancouver Canucks today.
You don't want to talk about their 3-game win streak?
Unless you want to.
No.
Can
I'm
I?
Sorry.
Exactly. Exactly.
Can I mention something that came up in our group chat?
Yes.
Because I want to say it was Julian who posted a clip of one Quinton Hughes, if you will.
That was me, yes.
Scoring a goal, which to my surprise was his first goal of the season. Why has that not been talked about? Like, I know he's a defenseman, but I'm like, his first, like, of the year?
And it was a sick goal, too. Like, he was like, wheeling around through the zone and everything. Like, he wanted that.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's
what happened to Quinn Hughes?
Well, you know,
he's been good. I mean, like, notwithstanding not scoring, he is, like, their only good defenseman. So,
yeah. I mean, that's pretty. Yeah. That's true. But hey, I mean, hey, look.
Wait, 3-game winning streak? No, 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 no. That's low awareness. No.
Yeah, it's great. They are now 1 game above NHL 500.
Oh.
NHL 500 again.
Come on.
They're 16-15-3.
When you say NHL 500, are you accounting for points or points percentage?
I'm accounting.
Or just looking at the record.
Just looking at the record.
Okay, that's fine. All right.
No.
That makes me so angry that the NHL tries to say, oh, you're not really under 500 because of overtime loss. We got rid of ties 15 years ago. What do? You either win or you lose. Drop this overtime loss BS. Drop
it. I hate loser points.
You know what? I saw someone suggest this idea, and I don't know how we could make this work, but I'm slowly warming up to it. Let's get rid of the idea of points entirely, and it's just based on wins. Whoever gets the most wins gets into the playoffs. Get in on wins.
I mean, they need to find a way.
I don't know how we look at OT wins or whatever, but what if we lived in a world where, like, you get like 40 wins in a season, and like, I don't know, that maybe that's not enough. It's a scenario that could exist. But I mean, like, you're judged on that and not points.
Yeah, I'm okay with that because I don't care how you try to you know, change it or explain it to me. There is no incentive for doing well in the regular season since they changed the format. None. There's no benefit. So I think if you go to that format, Julian, where you're just focusing on wins, okay, then it's just like straight up, you'll win or you'll lose. That's it.
You have
X amount of wins. Okay, cool, you're in the playoffs. You don't have that many wins. Okay, you're in the lottery. And they need to do something to incentivize doing well in the regular season, such that every game matters to an extent. Because again, you'll have teams in divisions who will be busting their ass only to face another good team and then get knocked out in the first round. And I'm not just focusing on the Leafs here. There are other teams who have to go through the exact same thing.
So Colorado end up being a wild card team this year.
That's not fair. Like, that's not fair. Like, are you serious? Like, okay. Well, oh my God.
They might be fully healthy by that time too.
Yeah. I did see an Avs fan yesterday be like, let's just throw in the towel and tank for Bedard.
That's not fair. That's not fair at all. That would not be fair.
But I mean, like, if you look at Jared Bednar's press conference this week where he was like going through all the injuries, it's ridiculous. It's ridiculous. They have like,
and it's been like that since day one.
I don't even know
who
they're icing. Yeah.
Like Charles Judon and Alex Galchenyuk are like first line options. Like, that's how bad it is for Colorado.
Yeah. Yeah.
I mean,
could you imagine Connor Bedard on like a second line for the Colorado Avalanche?
Oh my gosh.
Just like with that sick release.
If Edmonton does better and Calgary does better and the Canucks keep winning, they could get into the bottom, man.
Yeah, but like also, but like you'd have to essentially, if Colorado would even think about doing something like that, like they basically have to say, hey, whoever's injured right now, I don't have the full list in front of me.
Like,
they'd have to be like, okay, like, dude, you're done for this year and go from there. And also then have to hope for Anaheim to somehow be a little bit better, Chicago to stop sucking, like
San Jose.
San Jose. Like, there's a lot of things that would have to happen for Colorado to. I mean, then again, we live in a draft lottery world, right? So
even if they get a top three pick, and that's possible. Because I think 1 year, didn't Dallas go from like 11 to no, not 11. No, yeah, it was 11. Didn't Dallas go from like 11 to 3 or something? And then they got on Heiskanen in that year.
I mean,
it was something like
Miro Heiskanen has been a pretty good defenseman for them ever since.
Yo. And they have McKinnon, Manson, and Bowen Byram on injured reserve, and then Landeskog and Darren Helf still on LTIR. I mean,
he says Byram and Landeskog are nowhere close. And then he said today that Nichushkin has now re-injured his ankle that he had surgery on, and he's out. No timeline.
Yo, man.
And Prince Ose is now also injured.
You know, I mean, I'm not saying the Colorado Avalanche should tank, but I feel, should we start looking at tank awareness in a few weeks with the Colorado Avalanche?
They lost to the Coyotes last night.
They did.
Are we jumping too soon on that?
I mean, but like, if you even think of this year, they have four picks. They have their first round pick, and they don't have another pick until the fifth round.
I mean, then again, the Colorado Avalanche are in win now mode. Like, and when you're in that mode, you don't necessarily like.
But they won.
You're like,
they won last year. They won last year, though.
Yeah, you want to win again. They could still win again if they're healthy.
Yeah, you can win next year with Connor Bedard.
That is true.
you could win a few more years with Connor Bedard.
Yeah,
you could win a few more years with Connor Bedard.
Three ELC years with Connor Bedard.
Could you imagine hockey Twitter if the final two teams standing the draft lottery are Colorado and Arizona?
Could you imagine hockey Twitter?
I need that drama for hockey Twitter.
We need to live stream us like watching the draft lottery.
Can we please?
That would be awesome.
We need more of these live streams. I'm so down for that.
Yeah.
I also, when the Leafs make the playoffs, if they get to a game seven, I really want to watch game seven with Omar.
Me too.
Yeah, I think we should do some kind of live stream. You know what, Omar? You don't even have to do anything. You just watch the game. We could just watch you the whole time.
Okay. Yeah.
We're not going to watch the game. We're just going to watch Omar.
Oh, I want to watch Omar. I don't want to watch the... I mean, that's a lie. I'd want to watch the game, but I want to watch Omar.
If there are no conflicts, I'm coming to Toronto to watch it, Omar. I'm coming to Toronto. I'm dead serious. I will come to...
Oh my God, I might have to take you up on that, too.
Yo, I mean, live streaming Flames.
Yeah, but at the very least, live streaming the lottery would be hilarious because...
Yes.
Especially if there's a jump. That'd be awesome.
That would be awesome. Yeah. So we got a lot of cool ideas I'm sure we would want to see done in 2023. Absolutely. Man, I didn't even get into some of the topics I want to get into here. Are you guys watching the World Junior Championship right now? Are you watching the World Juniors?
I have not watched a single second.
Yeah.
Man.
It's the second. I mean, I didn't really count to the one that happened over the summer, but like I used to get up at like 4 a.m. for all the Europe games, and now I just like, I don't know. I get it. It's not like the players' faults that Hockey Canada is the way it is, but it just feels too soon for me.
Okay. That's a reasonable take.
Yeah, it's kind of the same for me. Like I remember every year, like that first Boxing Day, you get up, you watch one team get decimated, then another team get decimated, and then they have the whole you're hot dogging conversation. But like, yeah,
we'll get to that in a second.
I just haven't. Like, I know the big things that have taken place for sure, but like, I was just like on my iPad and I saw a notification. I was like, oh yeah, the Canada game's on. Like, I'm just completely checked out of it. And yeah, I think to Stan's point, it's just a little too soon. I can't make that separation yet, especially since there's still new information that is coming out from it. So it's tough, I think.
Yeah, I'm paying attention to it from a standpoint of someone who works in the media, but in terms of like, yeah, like I'm everybody else. I used to be getting up, early in the morning, watching games, pay attention, but we got Hockey Canada, and that's still very fresh. But also, too, what I just am not, I really have an issue now in terms of how we talk about literal children, in terms of how we critique high school students, some who still have braces, in terms of, I just irks me how we're still living and dying by what 16, 17 year olds do, and the critiquing in terms of like, it gets just something about it to me has still never sat right. I'm seeing more and more now as I get older in terms of. We critique children now. Justin's sitting right with me when it comes to the World Juniors.
You know what's funny? I was talking about it on another podcast because I think you brought that up in the group chat where for like 2 weeks, the World Juniors becomes this big national thing. And to your point about the fact that like the way that we critique teenagers, essentially, do you guys remember that one year when Canada lost, I think, in the quarterfinals to Finland? And like there was like a broken stick play at one point, they missed a shot, and then Finland came back the other way and scored. I remember like one of the Canadian players, like Maxime Comtois, got like a bunch of like not hate mail, but like comments on like Instagram, and that was a national story.
Yeah,
like, to your point, like it's kind of crazy about how much we have put, like how much power we have given this tournament, and the kids that play it, and the pageantry that comes with it. Which also maybe in turn explains why we care. It's part of it why we care so much about the investigation surrounding that 2018 team. I also think in the fact that it's been in the shadow of what happened with Chicago as well plays a role in it. But I think because of how much we have hyped up Hockey Canada and how much we have hyped up that tournament, that plays a role in why we cared so much about the investigation. And I think in the fallout now where it's a bit too soon to really get fully invested in that tournament. I've only seen maybe 2 minutes of it. Like I was at a dinner with a friend and I saw the start of the Canada-Czechia game, and I saw one of the two Michigan attempts, and that's as far as I watched. I was on break, technically, but, like, I don't know. I'm not really... Maybe give me a few days. Maybe I'll try to watch it just so I could be up on things and maybe know what prospects are doing what. But, like, I'm sorry. I can't be bothered to watch Finland and Switzerland play against each other just regularly. I can't do it.
Yep. The Michigan attempt happened and the other one happened. And everyone lost their mind. Oh, my God.
No!
What is happening to the game?
The Michigan. It's a crisis. It's a national crisis. Like, I'll say this. When I saw that the Michigan was attempted, and I heard about the second one, I thought, like, three different things. I thought, one, like, okay, Canada must think they're going to get a real easy win out of that. Because I feel like obviously it's a skill play, and you should do it if you have that opportunity. But I also feel like you're doing that if you feel super confident in your abilities and how you're playing that day. And it's not unlike Canada to feel that way, not necessarily in an arrogant way, but, like, that's a game they should have won. You know what I'm saying? Like, they should have won that game. They should have been going away with that. We're used to seeing Canada win, like, 8-1 in, like, their first game of the tournament. That being said, if I'm on the other side and I see that Canada is doing that to me, I want to beat their ass so bad. And I would not feel bad at the end of the game if I'm on the winning side of a 5-2 win. It's like, well, these guys were doing Michigans the whole time. And then the third thing I thought is, what if we get to a point where the Michigan happens so much that we lose the excitement that comes with it? Like, the fact that Canada could just do that twice in a game. Mm-hmm. Like, what if we get to a point where people attempt it so much, it's just like, all right, we've seen this like 100 times before. We've seen so many videos throughout this year of people doing the move. I don't want to lose, like, the excitement for it, you know? Like, people should do it. Yeah. People should absolutely do it. And I'm not trying to be a hater. I'm just saying, like, let's not lose why we... like, lost our minds over this in the first place. Yeah. A lot of different thoughts, but, like, I need that to be said.
Yeah, I don't think we're going to lose. I don't think the frequency of it is gonna like, peak in the NHL, especially. I think, like, teams are mindful of the Michigan happy people, right? And I think, you know, especially goaltenders as well, like, they're being very mindful of, like, you know, of who is skating behind them with the puck, like, who's on the ice and stuff. I think defensemen are being more aware of that, that as well. Now, at the younger levels, like, you know, the junior and, like, the World Junior Champions and stuff, maybe we'll see it more often, but I think when we see it in the NHL, it's going to be one of those, like, I can't believe he pulled that off in the NHL. But even still, it's a thing that players are doing now. And again, I think it just speaks to, yes, the overall, like, growing skill for players and overall the growing confidence, especially to do something like that on a big stage, right? Because if you mess up, if something like that happens again, they made two Michigan attempts and they lost the game. Now, if Bedard
totally
tries it
fault.
Again,
obviously their fault.
If Bedard does it again, I will spec the hell out of that. Because, you know, like, he's probably getting a whole bunch of, like, oh, you shouldn't show up your opponent, yada, yada, yada. Even though the Michigan was not the sole reason why they lost. It's a different conversation, whatever. So I don't know. I don't think it's that big of a deal, man. Like,
hate that this is even a discussion.
Right?
What kind of loser sport is this that somebody doing something high-skilled and exciting and cool is apparently bad? Like, I don't... am I going to sit out here and be like, oh, I can't believe the NBA has, like, a dunk contest. I can't believe they do alley-oops. Like, who wants to see that? I care more about the team than about skill. Like, shut up.
You know what I find so dumb too? I saw a lot of tweets about, play a team game, get pucks on net. Is Michigan not getting the puck on net? Michigan is a high danger scoring chance.
It's a very high danger scoring chance.
Yes.
Why do you hate fun? Why do people hate fun? Like, maybe part of the reason Team Canada has been worse, I think we can all agree they've been on the decline. Like, this is not the golden age of, like, the early 2000s where Canada was dominating the World Juniors. Maybe you can take the emphasis off the team game and the system and actually let your players be skilled players, because that's why you succeeded before.
When you take players that are special and you lock them into a system... they become average. Martin St. Louis, like, that freaking quote. Anytime this conversation about, like, oh, players shouldn't do this and players should, anytime this conversation comes up, that quote always comes to mind, because yes, why are we criticizing cool stuff? It's cool. And if you're, and if you have a problem about players trying the Michigan, stop them. Play your position.
I don't know why I thought you were going to say something like wilder than just stop them. I thought you were going to bust out some patois or something.
Oh, no, no,
sorry.
No.
But like, I just saw the S. I was like, oh, where are you going with that?
Yeah.
Like, imagine if Sweden, after Peter Forsberg scored the stamp goal, for lack of a better description, they were like,
the Forsberg.
That was too highly skilled. He shouldn't have done that. Sweden should really tamp down its skilled players. Like, why? What is the point of this? I want to see more of those goals.
But I just want to know, like, where did this loser energy come from? Because it wasn't always like this.
I think it's always been there. Anytime it's hidden in the sense of like, oh, like it started with goal celebrations when like Ovechkin scored like his 500th goal, I think it was, and like started fanning it. Oh my god!
His 50th. Was that 50th goal? Maybe I forget. You know what?
Everyone was going, oh my god, how can he show up the opposition like that?
Or Neil Yakupov, rookie in the league, scored the game-tying goal. And Don Cherry, you can't do that. A very xenophobic and very disrespectful rant. Like, dude, if I score a goal in NHL in my rookie season with 2 seconds to go to tie the game, I'm sliding down the ice, I'm throwing my helmet, I'm stealing the glass to celebrate with the fans. Screw you.
You gotta remember, we're not that, like, do you remember not too many months ago, Trevor Zegras and Troy Terry being mauled for skilling it up?
For skilling it up? Are you still living in that context?
I want people to bring back insane goal celebrations. Like, one of my all-time favorite moments is when everyone was talking about whether or not Buffalo would trade Miroslav Šatan, and the game before the trade deadline, he scores a goal. And he does the call me sign. Yes. That is one of my favorite goal celebrations.
Incredible.
I just let the freaking players be freaking people, man. Those moments are hilarious. Like, Matthews freaking scoring a goal right after it being called back. And like, that's a thing now. People do it. It's hilarious. Oh, like, my God. It's so frustrating.
One of the funniest goal celebrations I ever saw was Artem Anisimov. Many years ago when he was still playing
Rangers.
He scored a goal on the Lightning. I think he beat Wayne Oleson. And what did he do? Of course, you know, now it's but he turns it around like a gun and started shooting towards Wayne Oleson. Like, that was so freaking funny.
I understand why some people would be upset about that one, but that's just me.
That one is funny, but like...
Being a goalie, and then it's all like, why are you holding a fake gun at me? Like, what is,
dude? Imagine if he did that to Mike Smith.
Imagine if he did that to Jordan Binnington. Oh my god, Binnington would skate up and then just like turn around.
More
pretend to punch him. Yeah. More miss him with a water bottle.
Chuck a water bottle at him. Yeah.
Mm. More pleasure with the Binnington, because Binnington has shown he'll take the bait every single time, getting misconduct.
Yep.
Yeah,
every time you do that, you should do it like
those goal celebrations back. I don't understand, why can't we have goal celebrations? And like, the idea that it's showing someone up, or that it's poor sportsmanship, or that it's like you're a distraction if you celebrate your goals. Like, the point is to score goals. The point is, like, make it fun. Why can't it be fun to score goals? Why can't it be fun to win? Like, that is literally the point of the sport.
You know, act like you've been there. Act like you've been. Why should I?
Why?
I think, you know, some people may say this is a stretch, but I think that part of hockey culture, the like, don't stand out, don't have a personality, this narrative that like, you're a good team player, the logo on the front matters more than the name on the back, don't stand out, like this conformity and this pressure to be all the same is tied to the issues with hockey culture off the ice. Like, even what we said earlier about Hockey Canada and like why we are all so invested in this tournament, it's like this narrative that TSN built in of the Hockey Canada brand of like, oh, like let's go see Sam Steele's outdoor rink, let's go see like the stalls at the farm, like good old Canadian boys. It's like, you know, I think the cat is out of the bag that that's a narrative. And like, I'm not saying they're all like tainted, they're all bad people, but like, they're just people. We don't need this narrative of like, oh, the good old farm boy in Canadiana. Like, just let them have fun and be people.
It always annoyed me with that because it's like, okay, cool. That only appeals to so many people. I'm not a farm boy. I don't know if any of y'all are either. They only affect, like, we get wrapped into it. It's like, okay, I guess that's just what it is. But like, we don't always see ourselves on those teams.
Yeah. You know what we never really saw back in the day? Like, we never really saw the World Juniors. You mentioned the farm boy stuff, Sam. We never saw the full features on like Nigel Dawes, on Sean Bell, on PK Subban. Like, what about the black players on this team? Where are their feature profile of World Junior? Like, why are we telling their stories?
About Nigel Dawes was how he had 4% body fat. Yeah, I don't know. Like, they said it so many times. I remember this stat randomly, like decades later.
Yeah, the Leafs randomly put out a clip of like Wayne Simmonds giving the Leafs beef patties. That was sick. That was cool.
I did like, there was one time a feature they did of like John Tavares and PK Subban like doing friend trivia. That was good.
That was cool.
That's fair. Yeah. So things
most interesting
need to be
John Tavares has ever been.
That's a fact.
That's true. There was a video a couple weeks ago about how he has like a kombucha tap at home. Like, what?
Okay.
That's no shade to Steve Dangle who got that information out of him. But like, I don't care. That's so boring. Congratulations, you have a kombucha tap at your house.
Oh, his reaction too is just like, he didn't even try to make a joke. He's like,
That thank you for showing us that you're rich for having this expensive ass drink in your house.
That's some wealth. You got a tap in your house? You are in wealth. Next level wealth.
Oh, bro, so man, funny. was that part of the contract negotiations when he signed? Like, what is this?
Oh yeah, it was in section 3, subsection A.
It comes with a captaincy.
Yeah,
every captain.
Wendell Clark walks up. Oh, you've joined us. You know, here's your honorary kombucha bar.
You know, kombucha tap the sea and Toronto Maple Leafs bed sheets. Exactly how you slept.
You know, I won't say who, but I've been in the family home of a former NHL player. Won't say who. Well, I walked in their house.
I have a pretty good guess. I have a pretty good guess who this is.
Walked in the basement. There's a basketball court in the basement inside the house. Like, wow, this is ridiculous. Inside the house. A basketball court in the house.
Jeez, man.
Is that the most famous most famous NHL player you visited?
In his house, yes.
Okay. All right. I have a good guess.
I like the qualification.
Yeah. I don't know. I have a pretty good guess who it is. Anyway, we've gone through the World Juniors, we've gone through the dumb Michigan controversy. Did y'all hear what John Scott said on a podcast about how he would?
I wish I could unhear it.
So for context, for those who haven't heard it, and I get it, fine. I didn't listen to the full podcast. There are quotes just kind of going out there. Mm-hmm. But I also feel like with the way this is kind of written, I don't feel like you need more full context for this. He basically said, if he were to put together a playoff team, Connor McDavid would not be the player he would start with. And he has since followed that up with a tweet saying, maybe he'd take Cale Makar, Nathan MacKinnon, Nikita Kucherov, Victor Hedman, maybe Patrice Bergeron. Fine, playoff performers in their own right. But you also have to accept the fact that, like, if you're going to straight up be like, I'm not taking Connor McDavid, you are going to look a little weird. But also, does he have a point?
I mean, I think it's also kind of relevant that the people that he mentioned are people who have won cups and McDavid hasn't won a cup. Like, that's, like, if we're just doing, like, a bare-bones comparison, like, again, Makar, MacKinnon, they won the cup last year. Kucherov, Hedman won the year before. Bergeron won the cup in 2011, but he's been like the golden standard of like defensive playoff hockey. Played with a freaking punctured lung.
Golden standard of defensive centers, period.
Yeah, literally. So like, I don't know, but and I think same thing with you, Julian. I didn't listen to the entire thing, but I do remember there was a conversation. I think it was after the 2020 playoff elimination where. The Oilers got swept, and I don't know if McDavid went like completely pointless or maybe he had like one or two points, but like he got shut down like hardcore. And there was a conversation after that of like, oh, can he get it done in the playoffs? You know, it's not, you can't just score points in the regular season. So I wonder if that point is in connection with that those things in the past. But
yeah,
the thing that I'm confused about is last year McDavid was sick in the playoffs. Like, I don't know where. So I don't know if there's just like, you know, wires being crossed or something. But like, I think any idea or any like piece of evidence that suggested that McDavid can't like turn it on or like, or even hit another gear in the playoffs, like, should have been completely erased last year, because again, he snapped, and for the most part, he kind of had to do it on his own a little bit, because Draisaitl was like on a busted leg. Like, the dude could barely skate. Like, McDavid had, and he still did all right. So he had so many big moments. Like, I don't understand that. And regardless of all that, it's Connor freaking McDavid, man.
I say Leon Draisaitl was all right. Connor McDavid led the entirety of last year's playoffs in scoring, 10 goals, 33 points. Leon Draisaitl was 1 point behind Connor McDavid. They're two best players with the two best scores in the postseason. Like, I was asking people if there was a legitimate chance Connor McDavid could get a Conn Smythe Trophy vote, and he wasn't in the Stanley Cup Final. Like,
I can understand
if there are other people you might want to look at for who you want to start a playoff team with, but like, I don't know. I think it's a little disrespectful.
If he said Matthews, I'd be like, you know what?
Fine.
If he said Matthews, any Matthews, Marner, Nylander, but McDavid. Come on now.
At the very least, you're saying all those guys in front just to kind of cover it a little bit. But like, I think there's a little bit of hate. There's a little bit of hate. And I get it. Connor McDavid, maybe he's not the greatest player when it comes to playing damn defense. Fine. But have you seen what he can do with the puck on his stick and the speed that he has and the game-breaking ability that he can do and the series he can literally win in overtime like he did against Calgary? Sorry, Flames fans. But like, have we not seen what this man could do in the postseason? Like, he could do it. He's in the prime of his career.
Avery. Oh. You gotta, Avery, speak. Speak.
Avery,
say with the chest.
Go on, Avery. Go on.
Go on. Go on.
New segment alert. Go on, Avery.
That was probably the most absurd, ridiculous thing I've heard. It also, that kind of quote from John Scott takes the pressure off of Oilers management, who built a team that couldn't beat Winnipeg, that couldn't beat Chicago, and got clapped against Colorado. You're taking all the pressure off of Ken Holland and management. And does a player have influence on a roster? Certainly. All good players do.
Absolutely.
But the GM is the one who makes those deals and brings those players in. And time and time and time again, we've seen Edmonton fall and lose winnable series. So I'm not gonna put those results entirely on McDavid. No. This is a guy who last year had 33 points in the postseason, turned around series, got them back into things against LA, helped them beat the Calgary Flames. And you don't want the guy on your team? You're gonna tell me like that is because he hasn't won yet? How many other players? It took them years to get to a cup final. Guys like Yzerman, Ovechkin, et cetera, et cetera. It took them time. And you're going to say, oh, I don't want that guy on my team. I don't want that guy. He doesn't win. I don't want that guy.
Dude, that'd be like saying you don't want to build a team around Jerome Iginla because he never won a cup.
That's a damn shame.
We got to start putting together a list of guys that we're sad don't have Stanley Cups. Iginla's, and I think if we're going to do that, Jerome Iginla might very well be number one with a bullet on that list. Can you think of anyone else in the National Hockey League who doesn't have a cup that you feel more sorry for?
No.
No. Also, how did you...
Yeah. The Sedins.
Not more than Iginla for me, though.
Lundqvist not getting one.
Ooh, Henrik Lundqvist.
Yeah.
He's on that list too. Carey Price. Well, the Omar can understand why you don't feel as bad. But yeah. Sorry. No, but Jerome Iginla, I think in terms of players who don't have a Stanley Cup, that like I can't think of people who have said anything bad about that guy. And in terms of like him at his best, like one of the best players in his era. Like, it's a shame he doesn't have a Stanley Cup, and he went right to the brink too. Like that 7-game series against Tampa, that's like an enduring childhood memory for so many of us following hockey from a very young age. So like, yeah, I think in terms of guys who don't have a Stanley Cup, who you feel bad for, if there was a power ranking to determine, Jerome Iginla right up there. And I would love to know who somehow has a better ranking than Jerome Iginla. I didn't mean to kind of go off on a side tangent with that, but I think it was a very important point.
That's true, man. Iginla almost made me cheer for the Bruins, man. Because damn, because when he left Calgary, I was like, I couldn't do that. Get the man a cup. I didn't care who it was with. When he was on Boston, I followed that. When he was on Pittsburgh, when he was on Colorado,
LA,
like I was like, get the man a cup. And then that's one. Yeah, anytime like any people put like any like name a player who you like you wish like want like had another chance to win, like it's Iginla, man. It's such a shame that he didn't win, but it's still amazing.
I will say that as a Canucks fan, I found him super irritating.
Oh, I bet you did.
I was not.
Oh,
yeah.
I bet you did.
You know, it was hard to hate Jerome Iginla also too, because of course, being the most prominent brother in the league at the time, but also too, it's funny how the way that the Oilers and Flames were in that time period, Edmonton and Calgary never had a playoff series against each other in that time. You never saw Iginla against the Oilers. Because for a very long time, when the Oilers were that, you know, nuts and bolts, greedy team, the Flames were awful. The Flames were terrible for like an 8-year run. Yeah. And then when the Flames were in the playoffs, Edmonton was awful. Like, there was never, you never had a chance to see Edmonton Calgary in the playoffs because those 90s-2000s, they were never good at the same time. It just didn't happen.
And now we are in a situation where they're both potentially playoff teams, and they play each other 3 times this year, and we might not see them until the playoffs because scheduling.
That makes no sense.
It makes no sense. None. Like, why should you? If this is the league that wanted us to have this playoff format in order to encourage rivalries, why are you having rivalries that end in their season series? And before the second half of the year, I'm also shouting out New York fans, Islanders and Rangers fans, who also don't get to see each other play against each other for the rest of the season. Like,
well, and then like on the flip side, the Canucks and the Flames didn't play each other until like 2 weeks ago.
What?
First time Canucks Flames game was like 2 weeks ago.
Yep.
That makes no sense.
That's true.
The division, like the schedule making of these past couple of years have been really odd. Like, you guys realize last year, the Kraken made Edmonton only one time last year. One
like,
year.
What?
Like, how does that make any sense?
Oh, my God.
Give us a division.
Maybe we do need those extra 2 games.
That's so stupid.
Maybe those 2 extra games are needed. If it helps, if having 84 games instead of 82 games makes it easier for schedule makers to ensure that we don't have stuff like that anymore, fine. I'm willing to put up with the 2 extra games and whatever comes with that.
If they take it from the preseason. If you're still having 10 preseason games and then 84, that makes no sense. Cut away at the preseason, which players would love because no one cares about the preseason, right? And then, okay, you add your 2 more games, that's it. But yeah, if they're going to freaking keep the preseason the same and then add 2 more games to make the schedule even more compact than it already is, and yeah, for sure. That's such a good idea. Like, come on.
Yeah. Preseason, maximum 4 preseason games. By game 4, you know what the roster is going to be by game 4. We don't need 8.
Honestly, man. Flip.
I'm good with 6 because I'll say this. Like, I can imagine for some teams, maybe they might know. Some other teams, maybe you need a little bit more time. Maybe you have a guy on it. I think of guys on PTOs. If you're a guy on a PTO, you're trying to crack a roster. 4 games, I don't think that's enough to show that you could crack it with a team and get chemistry with guys. 8 might be a little long for everybody else. Let's find a middle ground. 5-6, maybe that's enough.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
We could find a compromise on that, I'm sure. But I'm all for more games if it means fewer preseason games. I'm willing to agree with that. And I think we can all agree here, to get back to the original discussion point, that Connor McDavid not being considered if you're building a playoff team is a little asinine. No disrespect to Makar, MacKinnon, Kucherov, Hedman, and Bergeron, who valid reasons to take them, but like, if you're building a playoff team and you're doing one of those like drafts with other people and Connor McDavid is not among the first 2-3 players taken, give your head a shake.
Connor McDavid has 67 points in 36 games right now.
Like,
that's
is he on pace for like 70 goals this year?
He's on pace for like 130 points or something.
He's on pace for...
Go on, Avery.
He's on pace for numbers we have not seen in the NHL since the early 90s.
Like, are you kidding me, man?
Connor McDavid is playing like the best player in the world. I mean, he's been playing like the best player in the world. But, like, if he gets to that tally, like 70 and like 135, like, give him the Hart trophy right there. I don't want any foolishness like last year where he had all those points. And I'm sorry, I shouldn't say foolishness, because Austin Matthews did what he needed to do to get the Hart trophy this year. He ain't got to worry about Austin Matthews this year. This is Connor McDavid's year. I know there's a part of me that really wanted to see Jason Robertson get that award, but he's kind of cooled off in recent weeks. If Connor McDavid's going to keep this up, just give it to him.
Here's a question. Because this is, and this also ties into another things that old hockey people say when they're talking about with the Michigan. If the Edmonton Oilers don't make the playoffs, then you can't give McDavid the Hart because the team's not in the playoffs. I can't wait.
Where is that in the rule?
I can't wait for that conversation.
Where is that in the rule? Like, why do people say such stupid things?
I can't wait for that conversation.
Isn't the counterpoint to that, like, if Connor McDavid's not on that team, wouldn't that mean the Oilers would be so far worse? Like, they'd be in the discussion for Connor Bedard? Isn't that an obvious counterpoint?
These people should just go read what the award is for.
Literally. Just
like, it's not that hard.
I saw a conversation of online about like the Jack Adams or whatever, and someone was like, oh, the Jack Adams goes to a team that exceeded expectations. No, that's not what it's been awarded for. It's bull. You're supposed to be bad and now you're not. No, the award goes to the coach that had the biggest impact on the team's success. The Hart Trophy is for the player that is the most valuable to that team. Where is Edmonton without freaking McDavid?
They are a lottery team.
Dreisaitl, stop. I'm not taking a shot at Dreisaitl. McDavid is not real in many dimensions, and the things that he does is filthy. And I swear, anytime I see that point, like, oh, well, he shouldn't get the Hart because the Oilers didn't make the playoffs. Again, assuming that that's how things go down, I'm just going to quote tweet LOL. I'm going to morph into Sam for like a week and just like quote every single time, like every single thing, and just quote tweet LOL. Like, oh my God.
It's so dumb. And people say, oh, voter fatigue. Who cares? This is the best player in the world.
But here's the thing. It's one thing to be the best player in the world and have voter fatigue on. Like I think about it with LeBron in the NBA. There was a period of time when he was the best player in the world, and guys are like, you know what? He's the best player in the world, but there are other guys to vote for. In this particular instance, Connor McDavid is the best player in the world, and he's getting better every single year. It's not a situation where Connor McDavid is like, all right, he's just at the same total. He's just the best player in the world. We're talking about him like obliterating his like career high totals. He's on pace to do that. And if he does that, like, what do you do? Like, you can't not give it to him.
Like, honestly,
this is a man. When we first launched Zone Time, we were talking about his predictions. What's Connor McDavid going to get in the 56-game season? He went at 105 points in 56 games.
Y'all remember that year? That was amazing. Well, sorry. The fact that he did that was amazing. We were still in the throes of the pandemic. I imagine that for a lot of people, the pandemic was not as great of a time. But you know what helped us going through that? Seeing Connor McDavid be great.
McDavid has 5 100-point seasons. It's going to be 6 after this year. And he is math. He's 236 points away from 1,000 points.
Like,
he's only 25.
He's 25.
Are you serious? I wouldn't have him on my team. Yeah, oh my God.
He could be eligible for the Calder if it was his first year.
let it sink in. Connor McDavid could hit 1,000 points before he turns 28.
At this point, we should be thinking about when is Connor McDavid going to hit 2,000 points?
No, we need to be talking about. Listen, what? Avery, talk to your boy, man. Ken is doing this man disservice. We're listing off all of these milestones and all this production, and there's no guarantee they're going to be in the freaking playoffs. Like, how bad is that?
As a management group, that should be embarrassing. Like, that should be embarrassing.
If embarrassing.
Like, and then this team still says, "Well, it's hard to forget how to make trades for. It's hard to make trades. You're being paid $5 million. I don't care if it's hard. That's your job. I don't care."
I will give Kendrick Holland this. He did try to address the goaltending situation in the offseason.
Oh yeah. Yeah, and then he did something and he didn't follow the advice of what everyone was saying, in that to give the Nets to Stuart Skinner, and then instead signed a person who to that point had never been a full-time number one goalie. Fact. I love Jack Campbell.
Who was he in Toronto then?
He was not the number one. It was a tandem situation. He was put into the number one spot because of injuries, but he was never definitively said, you are the number one person. That's the only reason we signed Peter Mrazek. If that was the case, we would have brought up like Joseph Wall or whatever. He has never been in a position to say you are definitively and undeniably the person. And then Kendrick's like, okay, go on, come here, boy. Right here, five million dollar contract, and you know
what number O's.
Like, you know, and it's been the same issue for years, and that you need to surround McDavid and Draisaitl with a team, and like, I don't know how we're at this point, and we're still having the same freaking issues with the freaking Oilers. They should be in cup contention every single year. They should not have any first round picks. Are you kidding me?
Don't forget when there were plenty of forwards out there looking for a PTO. You could have gone Zach Aston-Reese. You could have gone Sonny Milano. Who do you go?
Sonny Milano's doing okay in Washington right now, actually. Yeah, the Jake Virtanen one don't make no sense to me. It don't make any sense to me. Jake Virtanen was Sonny Milano. They probably should have swiped him up on that. But Sonny Milano, I will say this: like, I mean, maybe he probably wasn't in the best of shape at training camp. But Jake Virtanen, you got to explain that one to me, because that made less than no sense.
No sense.
I don't think anyone can explain it other than he's tall.
Oh
yeah, sure.
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah. You know. Anyway. Okay. we've lit the fire under Kendrick Holland enough. Before we wrap up the show, do you guys want to play the Hall of Fame game one more time?
Ooh, yes.
Yeah.
Remember, so for those who don't remember the Hall of Fame game, basically I list off a player's career, just a small list of their career attributes, and I try to get my friends to see if they feel they're a Hall of Famer or if they're not, and they also try to guess who that player is. I have three different case files for you all. I'll start with player A. You can tell me, just before you guess who this player is, tell me if their qualifications are suitable enough to go into the Hall of Fame.
Okay.
This player has 872 career points. They have a Hart Trophy to their name. They've won a Rocket Richard, but they are also a member of the Triple Gold Club. The Triple Gold Club, by the way, you've won a Stanley Cup, you've won an Olympic gold medal, and you've won a world championship. So you have all those things. Are they a Hall of Famer? Yes or no?
872 career points?
That's as of today.
Oh. Hmm.
It's a lot of pensive thinking.
They are part of the
Triple Gold Club. They have a Hart Trophy and a Rocket Richard to their name.
So a Hart, a Rocket, 872, and triple.
You're really thinking hard about this.
You know what? Yeah. Okay. Yeah. I'll say yes.
Okay.
I'll say yes.
Okay. Oh, Sam, I feel as if like you're really, I feel like you want to say
I know
no.
who this is.
Okay. Don't reveal who this is. Don't reveal who this is yet. Don't reveal who it is yet.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
I'm going to say no.
Okay. All right. Avery, a yes or a no?
All the accolades, 872 points. I'm going to say yes.
Okay. So two yeses, one no. The player, by the way, is Corey Perry.
Oh.
Mm. Corey Perry.
Corey Perry.
Damn, that's he won that cup a long time ago.
He won that cup a long time ago.
Yeah.
Holy long time ago. Like, you think about it, it's like, man, this dude lost to the Lightning in consecutive years of the final and then joined the Lightning and then lost. And you think, damn, this dude had it down bad in the final. And then you remember he won a cup in 2007.
Did we discuss the trade that could have happened that would have changed hockey history forever involving Corey Perry?
No.
No.
2003, there was an agreement that sent Corey Perry to the Edmonton Oilers for Mike Comrie. The trade didn't go through because Kevin Lowe wanted Mike Comrie to give back his bonus. Comrie didn't want to do it. The trade was nixed. But it was in principle agreement, Comrie to Anaheim for Corey Perry in 2003.
So Hillary Duff and Mike Comrie would have been hanging out.
I was just going to make this joke.
I'm sorry. I don't have any real memories of Mike Comrie as a player. All I remember about Mike Comrie is that him and Hillary Duff were a thing.
Oh, Mike Comrie was supposed to be like the next big saver of the Oilers. St. Albert boy was supposed to carry the Oilers to the next promised land, and then there was a huge falling out with management, and it became, where is Comrie going to go? Where are they going to trade for him? And yeah, the plan was to deal Comrie for Corey Perry until Lowe wanted back the bonus.
Damn. Okay, so I'm going to get to player B. There's one particular attribute about this player that I'm going to withhold as long as I can. This player has 969 career points at this moment, a two-time Stanley Cup champion, and a six-time 30-goal scorer.
Nah.
Okay. Yeah. So you say no to that. Is everyone else saying no to that?
A two-time Stanley Cup champion, six-time 30-goal scorer.
Yeah.
No individual awards.
And no individual awards.
No individual awards for this player.
Yeah.
Okay. So I say this because this player is also the first player, and this will obviously reveal who this is. He's the first player to play over 1,000 games consecutively.
Oh.
Does that change things about who mystery player B is, who you undoubtedly know by now who it is? Oh, wow. Omar's thinking about it. Sam's definitely thinking about it. I mean, everyone's thinking about it here. I think for me, to put my opinion on this, first of all, player A should be in the Hall of Fame. Player B, if Patrick Marleau, I feel he's not a Hall of Famer, it would be very hypocritical of me to say player B is a Hall of Famer.
Player B, I think
I still say no. I think
he will be. No. Yes. I'm gonna go yes.
Oh, so you think player B is a Hall of Famer?
In terms of will he get in or is he not? Like, will he get in the Hall of Fame?
Yeah, will he get in the Hall of Fame?
Or, yes, like, absolutely.
Is he a Hall of Fame player? Is he a Hall of Fame
player? He will get in, yes. Absolutely, he will get in, yes.
Sam?
No.
Okay, so player B, pretty obvious, Phil Kessel.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Kessel will get in, but I think Kessel will get in.
Mm-hmm.
But for the honor of, like, having the Iron Man streak or something. Like,
I mean, also...
He's a great player, though. He got robbed
of that Conn Smythe. I'll say that with my chest. He got robbed of that Conn Smythe in 2016. Like, that man, he snapped that year. That HBK line, he was disgusting. Oh, my God. Robbed of that Conn Smythe. So,
who won the Conn Smythe in 2016?
Crosby. Yeah, they gave it to Crosby.
Yeah.
But
I agree with Omar there. I will say, maybe this is controversial. I hate the Iron Man streak.
I thought you were going to say, I hate Phil Kessel.
No, I don't hate Phil Kessel. I actually really like Phil Kessel. Yeah. I hate the Iron Man streak when it's like you didn't play a game, or when you're injured and you go play a shift to keep the streak going. I think it defeats the spirit of the Iron Man streak. I hate that he like went and played played a shift in the first period and then flew back for his kid's birth. Like, I think that's stupid. And I think the importance we place on the Iron Man streak and counting it that way is absurd. Like, listen, you're either an Iron Man because like you weren't getting injured, and I get that, but like being injured and playing a shift so you can keep that streak going is, I think it shouldn't count. I think it's dumb.
I agree that it should. I think the rule should be changed. Then if a game played should be a minimum of a certain amount of time or X amount of shifts count as game played. It shouldn't just be one shift of 8 seconds that counts as game played. You play 25 seconds, that is docked to the game played. But
I think skipping a game for like the birth of your child not count towards, because you're not missing the game because you were injured, right? Like it's a little, literally like a personal issue.
Yeah,
true. It is, but you also miss the game. Like there's no, you know, if you miss the game because of that, W for being a good father, but also just like, you know, you weren't at that game. But it's a lot easier to say if you played a shift and then you leave, you at least played. What if he scored in that shift? What are we going to do with... I would love to know what the minimum is if we're going to do this, right? Because I could think of Steven Stamkos scoring that goal in the Stanley Cup final.
I was literally just about
minutes. So y'all are just going to say he didn't do anything because he didn't play like 10 minutes?
Well,
like,
he
could have been back to the game at that time. Like, why not?
I'll give an exception. If you record a point, then there's an exception to that rule, I'll say.
What is it for goalies? Because like if a goalie's pulled and the team like battles back and wins the game, I don't know how long the goalie needs to be in to be credited for the win or the loss. I forgot what it was.
I forget. I honestly forget. Yeah. I forget. We don't have to dwell on that. I have one more player, and then I will ask you all to give me your favorite moment of 2022 in terms of like from a hockey standpoint. Player C, 1,011 points in 1,058 career games presently. Stanley Cup champion. They've won a world championship on two occasions. They are not a part of the Triple Gold Club. Calder Trophy finalist. That is about as best as it gets for individual honors. By the way, in terms of Phil Kessel, the only individual accolade he has is a Bill Masterton trophy. This player C does not have an individual accolade, but they were a Calder Trophy finalist. Let me see if I can pull up who they lost to.
So two world championships, 1,011 points, was a Calder finalist, but doesn't have any individual awards.
Correct.
Any cups?
Yes.
Just the one?
Just the one.
Say yes.
Do you know who it is?
I'm not sure.
Okay. I'm trying to figure out. I did write that down, but I forget who he lost the Calder Trophy to that year. Oh, okay. Now I know who it is, and that makes sense that they would have lost it to that person.
I will say yes. I'll give my reason why after everybody gives it. I'll say as to why I'm going to say yes.
Okay. So Avery says yes. Omar, Sam, yes or no?
Yeah.
I said yes.
Yeah.
Okay. Sorry. Yeah. I misheard that then. Okay. That doesn't seem like that most convincing of a yeah from Omar. But okay. So you guys all feel Nicklas Backstrom should be a Hall of Fame?
Yep.
All right.
Yep.
Yeah.
Yep.
All right, that seems pretty cool.
For sure.
Yeah. One of the better passing centers. I mean, helps when you play with Alexander Ovechkin for the entirety of your career.
I was going to say, I think all three Calder finalists that year will end up in the Hall of Fame.
Yes. 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 Any guesses as to who won the Calder Trophy that year? Actually, name all three finalists from that. Since you probably know the answer, Sam.
I'm going to let Avery and Omar.
Okay, fine. You could guess.
07-08.
07-08 is what when Backstrom was a finalist. Sandwiched between two teammates.
07-08. Two teammates in Washington. Between two teammates. I want to feel...
Not on the Caps.
Not on the Caps.
Two teammates on another team.
Correct. The first and third place are teammates. They still are teammates for now anyway.
07-08.
I feel like that was a giveaway.
I thought that was a pretty big clue and they didn't get it. Yeah, I'm surprised they didn't get it off that immediately.
Why am I blanking so hard?
Oh man.
Probably because you want to forget this team exists, like everyone else.
Yeah.
Do they literally not exist?
No, the team, they exist. Literally,
they very much exist.
They exist, but we should have burned them to the ground.
Oh yeah, we really should. Oh, is it Kane and Taze?
Patrick Kane would rookie of the year. Jonathan Taze was also up for that. Yeah. All right, cool. Great job on the Hall of Fame game, everybody. And to wrap up our final segment of Zone Time for 2022, give me your favorite moment of the year. Give me something that you really enjoyed thoroughly, or it could be a goal, it could be a moment, it could be a story. It doesn't even have to be all that positive. It could have just made you laugh because of incompetence.
My favorite story of the year was the Colorado Avalanche winning the Stanley Cup.
Okay.
Followed closely by Jordan Binnington throwing a water bottle at Nazem Kadri in a press conference and missing. Those are my two favorite moments.
My favorite moment of 2022 is Nazem Kadri going on national television and telling his haters to kiss his ass.
Yeah.
I don't think it gets any better than that.
That was so good.
That was so funny. Yeah. Yeah. That was going to be my answer. Was like the Kadri post cup speech. But I guess another thing, and I know this was a piss off a lot of people, whatever. Matthew scoring 60 was cool. I almost swore. That was really cool, because again, it was something that we hadn't seen in the league for a long time. And it was just cool that it was a Leaf that did it. And you know, especially because like when you drop the player and they become like your franchise player, it's like, oh, they're gonna score this many goals, not many goals, and it's like they seem like such like high arbitrary numbers. But then watching a player like do it and saying like they're a part of my team, and then for him to go on and then win the Hart and then win the Ted Lindsay, which again was something that Leafs haven't been recognized for individual awards for so long because we've been ass. So that was a cool moment for sure.
Why'd you say ass like that?
I don't know. I was just trying to mix it up a little bit. They're
is that the closest you've gone to swearing on this show?
No.
I think
the
it
closest
is.
I got to swearing was when the freaking CN Tower went red, blue, and white to show support for the Montreal Canadiens. Like, that's so stupid. That was the closest I got.
I remember that. Avery, your favorite moment of 2022.
My favorite moment was to be in attendance to see Dr. Herb Carnegie go to the Hall of Fame.
Yes.
That was obviously my favorite moment. Someone who
for
many years, you know, had been overlooked, had been not considered to be a Hall of Famer, and to see him finally go into the hall. And it goes to show once again, hockey contributions, the Hall of Fame is not just the NHL Hall of Fame. You contributors in the hockey world that should be going in every year who made an impact. And next, I want to see Larry Kwong in the Hall of Fame next. Mm-hmm. I want to see Julie Chu in the Hall of Fame next. It is not the NHL Hall of Fame. Again, I'll say it again. It is not the NHL Hall of Fame. It is the Hockey Hall of Fame. I want to see a class maybe. I want to see the class of 2023 have maybe one NHL player. Maybe one. Maybe none. Hockey is not just one league. We need to celebrate that way more often. So seeing Dr. Carnegie in the Hall of Fame this year, amazing.
Amen.
Wow. All right. That's a pretty good
place
to end.
Before we end, I'm pretty sure Slovakia just beat the U.S. in the World Juniors.
No!
Whoa!
What?
Okay.
No way.
Now I might start watching. This tournament is stupid.
So, to recap everything, Finland loses to Switzerland in OT. Czechia beats Canada, and the U.S. did what? Yeah.
They just lost to Slovakia. 6-3 Slovakia.
Woo!
It's like everyone watched the World Cup, and they said, no, we need the upsets to keep going.
This is our time!
You know?
Wow.
I would love it if the World Juniors, if all the powerhouses fell, and the gold medal game was like Czechia versus Slovakia.
That'd be pretty cool.
That would be pretty insane. Slovakia?
Dude, this tournament would be so much better if there were just not the same teams winning all the time.
Yeah that's true. Yeah. I'd like that.
And people want to go out here and tell me, you know, wow, there's too many teams in the World Juniors. There's too many teams in the World Juniors. Shut up.
Stuff like that is exactly why people watch the World Juniors, or why we should watch the World Juniors. Mm-hmm. It's for countries like that. Like, you know, when they get a win over a powerhouse team, they celebrate that, man. Mm-hmm. Like, that's a big deal for them. and it could influence them for from time. Like that's a big deal. So wow, that's crazy. Wow. That is crazy. Anyway, all right. I guess if the upsets keep flowing at the World Juniors, maybe we'll have it as a discussion topic when we come back in the new year for Zone Time. But I'm really glad that we were able to get through another calendar year talking about all the good things and the not so good things with hockey culture. But it's good to know that this podcast is surrounded by a lot of great people who like to see it thrive, whether they're with the show or not with the show anymore. Obviously, in the cases of people like Ref and Cuthbert, who have gone out to greener pastures. But hey, man, I'm really thankful that we were able to do the show and continue to do it. And I'm looking forward to being back in the new year with you guys, man. So thank you. Seriously, thank you. It's obviously a highlight to do this podcast with you guys every week. I'm getting all sentimental and sappy. But you gotta give people their flowers while you're able to give them your flowers. Subscribe to the podcast.
All right. No. You always do this.
Yes, because it's not supposed to be about me.
No. Shut up. Julian is literally like the heart and soul of Zone Time. Like, I don't know. For people who don't know the story, there would not be a Zone Time without Julian. And with all the stuff he's doing, he still has the time and the passion again to come every week, plan the show, you know, organize the questions, keep us all engaged and all that type of stuff. So yes, obviously, you know, Zone Time is a family thing for sure. You know, I think of you all as family, but like Julian, man.
I think of y'all like family. Y'all are hockey family for me. Seriously.
It's like the highlight of my week. I love it.
Yeah,
it is. Absolutely. It is. Seriously. Also, I just realized we went through some of our favorite things in 2022 and nobody mentioned the do-rag thing.
Yo, that was one of my best laughs. Because he lost it. He lost the do-rag status. That's why. Because he lost it.
Oh, man. Nah, we will find a way to incorporate the do-rag in 2023. You know? Thank you to everyone subscribing to the podcast. Thank you to everyone who consumed the podcast. The way, Avery, did I cut you off?
I just wanted to mention, if we're down the All-Star game in Florida, I may have to bring Durag to Bryce if he's in Florida for the All-Star game. If we go down there.
I want to see a photo of Avery at the beach, just like we're wearing like a gold Durag, just like looking around, just being like, let's do this. All right, y'all. All right, let's wrap this one up for real. We'll be back when we'll be back. I forget when the actual date when we're supposed to be back is, but we will be back in January with a brand new episode and more episodes to come with Zone Time. For Sam, Olbar, and Avery, I'm Julian saying so long and happy new year and happy early birthday to Avery.
Yay! Thank y'all.
Before Shopify, were you wondering, where are my sales at? Now you're selling with Shopify, the global commerce platform supercharging your selling. You have no problem selling online, in person, on social media, and beyond. Gary, easy on the cha-ching.
Oh, sorry, but my Shopify sales are through the roof.
Start selling with Shopify today and discover how millions of businesses around the world use Shopify to ignite their selling. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/listen. Shopify.com/listen.